On today's episode of Job Hack, I sit down with Ashley, somebody who recently made the transition from manufacturing to tech. We go through her process, her trials, her tribulations, what she did right and what she thought she should have done differently, and what you can take away to make your process and your transition that much easier.
You know, we went through it together.
We did. It was a long 8 months.
8 months. That was crazy. Yeah, it was. We went through the seasons because it started in the spring, summer.
Yeah, it was the spring. I think it was late April that I first reached out to you. Yeah, crazy ride.
Yeah, I know. And I'm there were times where I was like, oh man, I hope she's not losing hope. Like, I hope she doesn't, like, she's not giving up, because it went on longer than
I was.
You were.
I was giving up hope, and I was discouraged, and there were definitely hundreds of times where I wanted to take a break, but you always had positive energy and you were bringing me back, and we would try something new. I think that's what always kept me going, was that we weren't doing the same thing over and over again, even when we realized it was not working or it wasn't going the way that we planned. Anytime that we sat down and picked a new strategy or tried something new, you gave me new homework to do. I think that always brought me back in to keep me going. And I'm glad you did. So I'm really glad that I found you on Twitter, of all places.
You know what? Speaking of the homework, you did kind of cheese me, because you didn't do some of the assignments.
Yep. You're right. I didn't. I didn't. And I still haven't.
It's irrelevant now because you made it, right? So, like, that's the whole point. But I was like, yo, Ashley, just do the goddamn assignments.
I was tired.
I don't blame you. So let's start from the beginning, though. So what do you do right now? What are you currently doing right now, Ashley?
I'm a UX analyst in the IT department for a software company.
And what were you doing before that?
I was a quality engineer in manufacturing for an aerospace company.
Okay, so
I said a lot, I know.
I know, I said a lot. So I'm going to ask you, like, okay, for your current job, in a quick little summary, like, what do you do? What's your day-to-day look like?
Well, I'm 100% remote, and I think that's the most important thing I need to mention. I work with a very small team, and we evaluate some of the programs that our employees use, and we find ways to make them better.
Awesome. And then the job before you transitioned into this one, what was it? What were you doing day to day? I don't mean to give you PTSD.
You know, I don't know them people anymore. I'm glad you realized that. So that job, it was in manufacturing. I was on the production floor, and they stayed open all through COVID. And I had really early hours. Like, I had to get there at 7 a.m. and I wouldn't leave until like 6 p.m. And honestly, I was doing a lot of Excel pushing, and it was, my job could have been replaced by an enterprise program that I kept recommending for them, and they just said they couldn't afford it. And I'm like, you can afford me, but you can't afford this. You could eliminate like four jobs if you would just buy this program. SAP, if you just bought SAP, you could eliminate half of us, but whatever. So it was a lot of Excel pushing. It wasn't right for me. Let's say that.
You found the experience soul draining?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the perfect word for it.
What was the moment when you were like, I gotta get out of here? Like, what happened? What was going on that day?
So it was actually the day of the interview. I knew during the interview that I didn't want to work there. So I had left my previous job. My boss had just had really high expectations and wasn't communicating that with me, and I got frustrated. I was in grad school. I kind of just left on some, I don't need this. So I left. I graduated. I didn't work for 3 months. So when I interviewed for that last job that we were talking about, as soon as I went in for the interview, I didn't like the building. There was no windows. And then I walked through the place, and it was like, wow, I'm not going to fit in here, or I'm not going to like it. A bunch of older white people, a bunch of old concepts. You can tell they haven't implemented new things for manufacturing, or even current things for manufacturing. You can just tell it was you could just tell it was old. And in the interview, I was like, I don't want this job. And 2 days later, they gave me a job offer. And that was the only job offer I had. And I had been unemployed for 3 months. So I took the job with the intent of looking for a new job. But I think once the pandemic hit, I realized I don't need just a new job. I need a new career. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So you know what? I find it so interesting because I've been in your in that position before where you're like, oh man, this, there's just something about this job like that is unsettling me.
It's wrong. It's eerie, right? Like, yeah. I was walking through the building. I felt like in the interview when they were giving me a tour, I was kind of outside of myself. And it was eerie and it was bad. And everyone was late to my interview. So I had 4 interviews set up. Literally everyone was like 10, 15 minutes late to a 30-minute session. So I was sitting in a room much of the time alone. And I'm like, I already don't want to be here. How dare you leave me alone? Like, that's rude,
yeah,
to say the least. And that behavior continued once I got hired. My manager would set up meetings and he wouldn't show up. He wouldn't be there. And even in my exit interview, he set up something and he was 15 minutes late. Like, the culture was not a right fit. Your time isn't more important than my time. Like, 5 minutes, cool. But 15 minutes and you give me no heads up, no sorry, nothing. Like, that's completely unacceptable. So it was not going to be a good fit from the very beginning.
And how long were you there for?
I started in January and I resigned in January. A year. A year. I made it to my 1 year mark. I made it to my 1 year mark like 4 days after my 1 year mark was my last day.
Oh my God. I rate you because like so all the positions that I've gone into where I had that feeling, and it's funny, like something as subtle as like, yo, I don't like the way this building looks can be enough to like, could be your intuition just like reacting to some things. I'm all about like energy and like, you know, being attuned to that. And you're going into an environment, especially an environment where you're going to be like working, even in a remote setting, like this is going to be where you're going to be spending most of your time. You know, you need to listen to like your senses and reaching out. So did you get a shudder or was it more like a punch in the stomach?
It was like a punch in my stomach. I first of all did not like the commute. The commute was 45 minutes without traffic. And then when I got there, I'm very big on, I like the sunshine. I like being outside. I don't like when it's gloomy, that sort of thing. So when I realized like you couldn't even see outside, and I would get to work and it was dark. And when I would leave work, it was dark. The only time I saw sunshine was if I took a walk during lunch. And that was kind of, that was depressing. That was going to be something that would trigger depression. And I knew that was not where I was settling. I'm just hanging out until I can get a new job. This was not my job. In my mind, it was not my job. I never claimed that place. I didn't want to put it on my resume. Like, I didn't even save people's numbers in my phones. It was one of those, like, I'm here because it's convenient right now, not because I want to be here.
So talk to me about, like, what was it like waking up in the morning, going to that job, going to that place of work?
I think I got to the point where I couldn't let it bother me. I think I let my last job before that one bother me so much because that one, it started great and then it took a sharp turn, and that one became painful every day. So since I had already went through that and worked a lot of that out with my therapist going into this other job, I didn't let it bother me. It was like, I don't know you people. I'm not here with y'all. Somebody would message me on LinkedIn. I see you work at XYZ company. And I would not reply. I'm like, no, I don't work here. They send me checks. And that's about it. Like, we don't have a partnership. This is not, no. So after it was, I guess I would say I was kind of numb to it. Like every morning it was just kind of like, this is what I need to do for right now. And I'm working on things to make the change. So don't let it affect your everyday life.
That's actually really, really good and like strong sense of will of character you got there. I credit it to the therapy. I just started like my own mental health journey, and like I'm already seeing the changes of just having someone to like to talk to and like help you just figure out the action plan of like getting better.
Yes.
So kudos to you. The funny thing is that I also want to rate you for leaving the job on your own terms, because in like for me, speaking from personal experience, every time I've had that same feeling about an opportunity, I've gotten fired.
Because
I just become so disinterested and like,
that's interesting.
So, like the worst case scenario is I've gotten fired or I've left. So like, I do, the fact that you were able to keep it up for a year speaks about like, you know, your ability to be a high performer. But how did you tank the quality of your work? How did you stay engaged enough to be like, ah, man, this sucks, but like, it can still go on?
That's a good question. So the first part of the year I was on site at the facility. So from January to April, I was on site at the facility. And by April, you know what? I was showing up late. I would disappear for a little while. I would probably say my performance probably was slipping, but it was slipping around the time COVID had become like way past the pandemic. It was like hysteria when COVID became hysteria, at least in Georgia and the United States. And that's when my fight or flight instinct started to kick in. And I think I was saying, F that job. Like, I don't care if I show up. Like, I was kind of saying, like, fire me. Like, please, why won't you fire me? It's bad. It's terrible. But I actually called my doctor and he gave me a note and he said, hey, you should work from home. So I told my boss, I said, a medical professional said I need to work from home. So they reassigned me to another group. And I think being reassigned to another group was, it was almost like starting a new job. So from May to December or the beginning of January, I worked with that other group. And I think that kind of reshifted my focus of, okay, you said this was temporary. Now this is a temporary job that you can kind of, you know, you can work from home. You can kind of get all your other stuff done. You can realign to find your new career. So like, don't F this up. Like, don't mess this up. So it was hard. It was kind of another thing of like, well, what else am I going to do right now? Like, I just started a job. I couldn't walk out of another job for the second time in a row, I think was probably the biggest thing in my mind. I couldn't walk out from my last job in 2019 and then walk out from another job in 2020. And I definitely couldn't walk out during a recession. That doesn't make any sense. My parents already gave me some money in 2019 when I left my job. Like, I can't like dip into their retirement fund or their savings. I can't do that again. I have a job that pays the most amount of money that I've ever been paid. I cannot leave. So I guess it was probably the money that kept me. And then being able to work from home kind of like to whip me back into shape. Like, you have to do a good job every day so they don't fire you, so you can keep getting this paycheck until you find a new paycheck.
Yeah, I find that a lot of times that what keeps us in those bad jobs is the financial aspect. And there's no shame in it. It is what it is. Like, we all have to eat, we all have to survive. And, you know, no one feels good like feeling like they're a liability to other people, especially people that they
right. And then so soon after.
exactly. So my question to you is, all right, so we already know that you're in the mindset of like, I need to get out of here. How did you figure out that tech was where you wanted to go, and how did you figure out what you want? What did you want to do in tech?
So one of my best friends, Jessica, she works in tech. She works at Google. Hey, Jess. And she would always talk about how she loved her job, and I didn't understand what she meant by she loved her job. And then I had another friend, who she was in pharmacy and then she switched to tech, and she would say she loved her job. And I'm like, who are all you people who like your jobs? Like,
that was just a foreign concept to you, just like people liking their job?
No, I'm Jermaine. I thought that people went to work and they bin and they grin and bear it until they're 65 and they can retire. I thought it was like doing laundry. Like, who likes doing laundry or washing the dishes? Like, who likes going to work? You do it because you need to and you're an adult. So hearing that they liked their jobs and they were both in tech, I was kind of like, okay, the tech industry is where I need to be, but I don't really want to pick up coding. I don't want to have to pick up coding really quickly. So what's a non-technical tech job that I can get? And there were a few different things I was considering. UX was one of them. Project manager was another one. Being a data scientist was another one. And my therapist kind of verified that tech is a good industry for me because I like to do a lot of different things and I like when things change. I don't like when things stay the same and there is no vision of things improving or at least changing in any way. She said, I don't like that. So manufacturing was not a good fit for me and tech was probably a great fit because the industry is always changing. No matter what job you have, the industry is always changing. So she thought that would keep me interested. And it was actually, you were probably the definitive, like, okay, it's UX for me. So in one of our sessions, I think it was the very first one, I think I booked a 30-minute Ask Me Anything consultation with you. And we kind of did, you know, a light overview of update your resume and network with people, blah, blah, blah. And then the last 5 minutes, you said, well, what about UX? And I'm like, stop, what? Why weren't we talking about this 25 minutes ago? And I was like, I considered UX before, but I started the classes, I didn't finish them. And I don't know, I just don't have transferable skills. And you're like, well, you do, you know, try finishing the classes and see what you think about them. So I finished the classes and I booked another session with you. And I think that's what started it. So initially I wanted to be a project manager, but then I kind of started to look at what a day-to-day life would look like for a project manager. And it felt a lot like engineering. It felt like a lot like I was trying to fit myself in a project engineering box when I just fit myself in an engineering box and that wasn't working. I needed to find a career that was going to fit into Ashley, not Ashley fitting into a career. And I think that's what UX was. I think the fact that I went through the whole online bootcamp or certification and I was interested in it, most steps of the way, some steps are pretty boring, but the fact that I was interested in it, I think was a good sign that this is the right step for me. So it like, it had to be tech and it had to be UX at a certain point. It had to be those things for me.
Yeah. It was interesting. Cause when we first like linked up, you were actually like, and you had like your hands in like a little bit of like everything. And like it's actually very common because, you know, when you have so many transferable skills, like when you're focusing on like, especially in tech, like the soft skill side, you can find that you can fit into like a lot of different things, right?
Yeah.
So the part of the problem, and I felt like when we were talking in that first session, I was like, part of the problem is that like you're confused because there's just so many possibilities open in front of you. And we just need you to focus and like, at the very least, to start doing a process by elimination until we can like land into like the thing that you want. Because because finding out what you don't want to do is just as important as finding out what you want to do. Right.
Absolutely. Yes.
And because we looked at project management and then we looked at product management and then you looked at UI UX design and UI UX design seemed to be like the right direction, but it's not where you actually finished, is it?
No, it's not. So technically I'm a UX analyst. So there's a little bit of design, but it's a lot of research and it's not so much launching new developments or applications. It's evaluating the current state and improving it. Or if they want to add something new, it's replacing it. So it's not we're going to the moon. It's we're going to use a better email server or we're going to use a better training platform. So I like that though. Those were the parts of engineering that I gravitated towards. And I didn't realize there were so many transferable skills and ways to get into exactly what I wanted to do. So even when we were working together, I thought I was going to be a UX designer. And then later on, we realized maybe it's UX researcher. Mm-hmm. And
I remember. We made you like four or five different resumes and they were like,
title.
We did this thing where we would go and we'd reach out to like, we would like have like a list of jobs right? Mm-hmm. That Ashley would be interested in, and she would apply for them. And then I'd do my best to reach out on the back end and connect with the employers, just at the very least at a high level. So let's see if we can get some feedback or like see what they thought. And when we were going for like the product designer, product manager, there were just like several gaps that were mm-hmm. there that was like, do you really want to invest the time in like, you know, going into that direction, into like getting those skills, or is there another way we can like pivot and see something else? And we just started rotating, eliminating, and then we landed on UX researcher, and you started getting some traction.
Yep, exactly.
So we it was a couple of months. We did a bunch of sessions, but when you got that first and we're not going to name any company, we're not going to name any names, but you got that first interview. You got that first interview yeah. as a UX researcher for a really great startup. Talk to us. What happened? Give the play-by-play. I remember being on the balcony when you told me about it and screaming.
So, I think I found the company, I think, on Glassdoor. So I think I was doing this thing where I would apply to anything that said UX researcher and anything that was 1 to 3 years of experience. Mm-hmm. And I think I applied, and then the next day they wanted to interview, or a couple of days later they wanted to interview. And I was like, Jermaine, did you do this? Or was this me? And you're like, oh, it's you. And I'm like, no, it's probably you. But thank you. I don't know. I was just very excited. It was validating is what it was. Yeah. It was, okay, we pivoted so many times, which I appreciated. But I think we narrowed it down, like you were saying. Like, we started with a funnel with a wide base, and then we kind of narrowed it down without limiting me mm-hmm. was the important thing. I think the funnel was catered to me, and I think that's why that first interview was so important. And it sounded like I was going to move on to the next interview until they changed the location of the job. But I think for me, it was validating. I know for you, you were kind of upset for me.
I was pissed. Like, I was like hulking out. Like, I was like part of my language. I was furious, Ashley. Like,
I'm gonna bleep it out. Okay.
But I was like, because, you know, like, I saw the work that you were putting in, like, even though you missed a couple yeah. of homework assignments, I saw the work that you were putting in, because, like, you had to sit down, and you had to, like, we did this exercise where you had to sit down, like, list all of your skills, right? And then we were just like putting them into like the, like, Indeed and like the search engine and just seeing what popped up. But like, mm-hmm. you had to sit down and like really like take a hard look at yourself and like put yourself out there. So I was angry because like you got this moment of validation, and like
yeah.
you aced the first interview, and I was upset, mm-hmm. not necessarily because they moved the job, but like, you didn't get a chance to go through the whole entire interview process to see, like,
right.
you know, to see if they could throw you any real curveballs from like a technical standpoint that we could like come back right. and like really like build out a plan. So when they're like, you know, we're going to have to like cancel your consideration because we're moving the role across the globe. And we couldn't even be mad at that right. either, because it's like.
Right. That's where their team sat. So I don't know why in the first place they wanted it to be in the United States. That's a whole other story.
And to be fair, I actually went and I confirmed and I stalked the role until they filled it.
until they filled it. Fam,
I stalked the role until they filled it. I made sure they filled it in London like they said they would. And I was like, all right, bless. Okay.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious.
I was angry.
So I know for you, you were angry because, you know, I think you were angry for me. Yeah. I think I'm kind of like, they made their decision. I can't do anything at this point to change their decision. So let's move on. And you're like, no, F that. Like, this is ridiculous. Call Michelle Obama. We need an intervention. No, something needs to happen. And I don't know. So I guess in my mind, also the recruiter that I was talking to, she said something that was really interesting to me that kind of changed my perspective. And I think it changed our game plan a little bit. she said, you know, even though you've been hired as an engineer, it makes sense for you to put UX designer or UX analyst as your actual role on your profile, your LinkedIn profile, and your resume, because that's what you have marketed yourself as, but that's not what you're coming off as until we go look at your portfolio. When we look at your portfolio, then we can tell, okay, you're hired as an engineer, but you do a lot of user experience projects. So she said, just to make that more obvious, change your titles. And coming from her, from somebody who doesn't know me, who spent literally only 30 minutes with me, I found that to be a good piece of information. I know you were upset that I didn't even get to get feedback from like the hiring manager, but I still took that as feedback. And I think that is what started to get me a lot more interviews, changing my title. Because after that, I was getting recruiters in my inbox and in my emails and my LinkedIn asking me for stuff. And I think that that was another piece that kind of changed the game for us.
That actually taught me something too, because I've always been on the fence about like, I always like things to be consistent, right? Like, I don't want anyone to ever call mm-hmm. somebody like a liar, right? And I was like, right. I understand the again, the whole idea for like consistency, and as a recruiter, as like somebody that's trying to like judge somebody, anything that's inconsistent kind of like takes away from like your trust factor with.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be careful, because I don't want someone to like get the impression that you're lying about what you're bringing to the table.
Right.
But like on the other side of it, like job titles are so flexible. Like, you know, yeah. people will, I've seen like product ninja as a job title. I'm like, what the hell does that mean? Right. And like getting that like, and if it was up to me, I would just like just change a job title to like as a standardized job title, because when they do the reference call, if they ask like, can this person do this skill wise? Yes. Did mm-hmm. this person work here as long? Yes. You know, was this person responsible for this? Yes. Is the job title really relevant? Right. But people can be very petty. People can be very, very petty. Like, all of those boxes could be checked, but that inconsistency in job title could turn somebody off. So I was like, I'm like 50-50 on it. And then getting that recruiter saying that to you was like, okay, so you know what? It's worth taking the chance, because you have to simplify exactly. your job title, because your job title makes no goddamn sense.
Well, that's because I didn't do what I was hired to do. And right. in both instances of the last two jobs that I had, they didn't want to change my title. And I've asked, can we change my title? Can I get a promotion? Can I shift to this group? And they would just flat out say no. And I'm like, I'm not engineering anything at this moment. Why would I keep an engineering title? That doesn't make any sense. So yeah, that was a big thing.
Yeah. And I think that's a key takeaway for anybody. Like if you're going for a particular role and you're transitioning from an industry, and you have like a job title that might not make as much sense, feel free to simplify mm-hmm. it. Feel free to like to put your official title and then put like a backslash. 'Cause I think that's what we did for you.
Yeah.
We put your official title, and we backslashed it, and we put like UX researcher, because you were doing
we did.
And it worked, right? You feel free exactly. to simplify that, because no one can call her out for like not putting her true title on her resume, but no one can also say that they don't understand what that is, because we've clarified it. So
right. And it was also clear in my portfolio. I say I was hired to do this, and what I ended up doing was this, and this was my impact on the company. And even when I would get an interview, I would let people know, like, I was hired as this title, but day to day, this is what I do. And mm-hmm. it was clear and it was upfront. You know, you mentioned you don't want to come off as you're lying about your work experience. And I think just being upfront from that first phone screen was very important after changing the title or updating the title.
Yeah. I want to talk about your portfolio, actually.
Okay.
The evolution of your portfolio. Oh.
Okay. That's also, I don't know them people. I don't know her from the beginning. I completely erased that from my mind.
Well, I remember when we first linked up, you had only one project in your portfolio. And do you remember what I said to you about the projects in the portfolio?
I don't remember exactly. I remember how I felt after you said it, but I don't remember what exactly you said.
How did you feel?
I felt like, damn, this is how I'm coming across. Like, I this is all I can show right now. Like, what else do you want me to do? I think because you said, like, this looks really good, but then you open it and you're like, this is it? This is just wireframes. And I was like, yo, this is all I have. Like, what are you talking about? Like, this was the homework that I had from the certification course that I did. I don't have anything else. And you were like, well, you know, before you click on it, it looks like it's going to be this great big, you know, food app. And then you open it and that's literally, there's nothing there. There's no context. There's no, like, end deliverable. Oh, that's what I heard. I don't know if that's what you said, but that's what I heard. So yeah, I was feeling super salty, but I think I needed to hear it, even if I didn't want to hear it.
Yeah. Because I was trying to communicate to you, like, you have to, like, you're selling yourself at the end of the day. You're selling the idea of yourself, right? And especially if you're transitioning into a new industry, you need to show off that you can understand and conceptualize projects from, like, the ground up. Walk them through and make them like an end deliverable. And a lot of people fall in the trap of thinking that it's presentation, but like, it's also context, right? You need to be explaining, especially since you were going to, like, you ended up in UX research, but like, generally speaking, you want to explain to people like the value of what's in your portfolio and like why, even if it's like a made up project or one that you actually worked on, like what the value is for the end user and the people involved. And you had a food app that like looked nice, but then you also told me about this, this dashboard design for your manufacturing company. And I was like, okay, what is that? And when so actually, I'm gonna let you tell the story about that project in particular. And I want you to also let me know like why you didn't initially consider putting that up first.
So I did make a dashboard. So again, I was a quality engineer, but I sat at headquarters, so I was in charge of putting together all this information and then distributing all the information. And they were doing it in Excel, and I decided my time is worth way more than just Excel. So I made a dashboard instead. Long story short, I made a dashboard instead. And I think when you and I started to talk about it, that was the part of my job that I liked the most. Like, I did not like the electrical engineering, visiting suppliers and doing audits. I liked creating the dashboard, making it better, doing iterations of it. And you were saying, like, that sounds like user experience. And I'm like, no, it's just a dashboard for engineering. It has nothing to do with UX. And you kind of pointed out all these different things of how it was transferable. And as I was kind of reading other job descriptions, like wireframe, like talking about wireframes and talking about user interviews and just different tag words or words that fit with user experience, I started to realize, this is something that's transferable and it's real. I think the important part was that it was real. I think when something is made up and a question comes up, it's hard to answer that question. But when it's real, it either happened or it didn't happen. You can either pull from it or you can't. And I think that was important in making. So I went through and I remade the entire dashboard. But then I showed my thought process in my portfolio. I showed my thought process for creating the dashboard. And again, I started off by saying I was hired as an engineer, but I work at headquarters and I have to give out all of this information. So a lot of people used the dashboard and I wanted the experience to be pleasant for them so that they would go to the dashboard instead of emailing me every 3 days about information that's on this dashboard. And I went through what's my thought process. I went through my role, the wireframes, the initial designs, the prototypes and the business use and then the final design. And once I went through all of those things, I said, wow, I have a real project for my portfolio. And it kind of felt good and I can get rid of that cooking app that made no sense. It was aesthetically pleasing, but it made no sense at all. Again, I don't know her. I've never met her before.
And you know what? I love that you took initiative, right? Like you said, like you didn't enjoy just being limited to Excel. You took initiative to step outside of like what your work parameters are, right? And you use that to inspire yourself to create something that was fun. And that's that in turn is what you put in your mm-hmm. portfolio, because your passion literally shone through, like in terms of like when you're going through the project and you're like, Ashley did this real great thing where she had like the design of the dashboard, but each segment she broke down like why things were in certain places and why and how it was considered an improvement over the previous iteration. And it just showed that she was able to understand the nitty gritties of user pain points, right? And that's what we wanted to transfer over on her resume, right? So people could communicate, so she could communicate to people like, this would make me a strong UX researcher. And sometimes it's all about just taking inspiration and just running with it. And you did that.
Yeah. I think I was lucky or fortunate that I, first of all, had the space mm-hmm. to even create the dashboard. And then I was grateful that you and I had that conversation, because it really opened my eyes to like this was way more than transferable skills. This was, you did user experience at your job.
Yeah. Like the great thing is about a lot of ways you're a lot, great things about a lot of transferable skills is that they've already manifested in the work that you've done in the environment that you're in. You just need to figure out how to take that with mm-hmm. you, right? Whether it's like, again, like Ashley redesigned, mm-hmm. like did the whole design from the ground up, or just making notes of your stats and just making like a journal entry and like being able to like retell the story of how you did things from the ground up and how it solved the problem and what the end result or the execution was. And you can take that with you. So you did the portfolio, you did the transition. Now talk to me about like, that's the past. Talk to me about like today. Ashley, how are you doing today in your new role? What do you love most about your job? And like, what was the best day that you've had there so far? What was it like? Why was it good?
Oh my gosh. So my very first day. So first of all, my life is great. My job is great. My group is great. The work that I'm actually working on is great. And I get to work from home, which is, I have literally no complaints. But that first moment of like, damn, I made it. My first day of work. I'm doing onboarding. Like they sent me my laptop, all this other good stuff. And I get on my phone and I check my personal email. And somebody asked me, what time am I available for a UX interview? And it was actually one of the companies that we had targeted in 2019 or 2020. It was one of the companies that we targeted in 2020. And they kind of, you know, said, no, she's not a right fit, blah, blah, blah. So I had to turn them down on my first day of work.
L-O-L. Sorry, I'm no longer on the market. L.
Yep. No longer on the market. That was like, yo, bitch, you made it. Oh my gosh. It's like, I literally started crying. I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is it. Like, I don't know what job could have been better. Like, my commute couldn't be better. My group couldn't be better. You know, the work I'm actually working on couldn't be better. Like, right now, as my first official UX job that I'm doing 100%, like, it couldn't be better. I'm not on the market right now. So that was an excellent feeling. I went from chasing interviews to turning down interviews.
Flex, gunshots.
Exactly. Like there was no better feeling. And I've still gotten a couple of, you know, emails and messages on LinkedIn. And I'm like, sorry, I love my job. I'm not on the market.
Very rewarding and empowering feeling. And like the best thing is, you have your foot, you have your foot in the door, and you were able to like, because you're able to like use your transferable skills, you were also able to make sure that from a compensation standpoint, you didn't have to start at mm-hmm. entry level.
Oh, that was a big relief. That was a big relief. And you know, I told this to the HR in my exit interview. I said, you know, I spent 7 years as an engineer to get up to this salary. And I actually have spent 1 to 3 years as a UX researcher to get the same exact salary down to the dollar amount. It was exactly the same. They have actually better 401k matching at my new job. And the vacation days are about the same, like, and it's 100% remote. So it's not even that I didn't have to start over from zero. It's like, it was literally a lateral move. I didn't move down at all. I kind of feel like I moved up because I got to work from home, and
no, you did move up. Listen to the tone of your voice talking about this opportunity versus the last one. Like, at a certain point, you can't put a dollar amount to it. And I'm glad you're able to like still maintain your quality of life, but like the fact that you don't have to like worry about doing, because I'll be honest with you, when you're doing work that isn't aligned or fulfilling, it's soul draining.
It is. Absolutely.
100%. I'm so glad to hear things are going well, Ashley. I'm going to let you go in a little bit, but like, if you had to give any last minute advice to anybody listening to this podcast, what would it be?
It would be to like trust your intuition. So one of the questions, I think you kind of sent me some questions ahead of time, and one of them was, what would you tell yourself in 2010? And I kept thinking about it. In 2010, I was actually transferring schools. So I was in school for 2 years and I had to transfer schools because of money. And in 2010, I would have told myself, look at other majors. You don't have to do engineering. And I think at that point, I didn't like engineering and I just thought it would get better. And I was kind of ignoring that because engineering is what I was supposed to do as a Caribbean American student. I'm supposed to be a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer. And I started this, so I'm supposed to finish it. I think I would have told myself, like, listen to your intuition. You don't like the classes. You don't like the people. You don't like where you're potentially going to work. It's okay to change your mind and pick something else. Trust your intuition. It's okay. So I think that's what I would tell everyone else, because that's definitely what I would have told myself 10 years ago, 5 years ago, a year ago. Like, it's okay. Trust your intuition. It's okay to make a fresh start. It's okay to do something else. Just because you're trying to switch careers or something like that doesn't mean that you quit or that you failed or that you didn't make it and you're not successful. That it doesn't mean that at all. So that's what I would say.
Holy crap. I think I might cry. That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
That was beautiful. Ashley, I'm so happy for him, so proud of your journey, and I want nothing but the best for you. I see nothing but success and great things. You've gotten into the industry officially, and it's only up from here, fam. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Are you comfortable letting people know where they can find you on Twitter?
What is my Twitter handle? I don't even.
Or LinkedIn, whatever you're comfortable.
Twitter is like my tech space. I don't even know. I think it's at @enginenerdly on Twitter. And if you're on YouTube, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Awesome Ash TV. I am doing a lot better with uploading this year. And I will have a video out hopefully in a couple of days about how I transitioned into UX, and I have a bunch of different questions that I've outlined. So,
oh, I love
Awesome
that.
Ash TV on YouTube and Enginerdly on Twitter.